Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 18th Tuesday, a Sabbath day, the 18th of April, 2017. So good Shabbat to you, my brothers and sisters, according to Enoch's solar calendar. We'll get into the book of Zechariah. It's Zechariah in the English, but it's Zechariah in the Hebrew. In chapter 3, where we're going to begin in verse 1, there are two words that are similar, except for the vowel points. Actually identical, and I will point them out to you, because one is a proper name and one is the definition for that proper name. So let's get into chapter 3. Let me clear my pipes here, and we'll get right with it. All right. Chapter 3 of Zechariah, verse 1. And Zechariah is speaking. This is a vision. And verse 1, you can reference section A, Ezra, chapter 5, verse 2, and section B, Revelations 12, verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 1. And he showed me Yahshua, 309:1, same as the name of the prophet, same as the name of the Messiah, just a different man. They used this name, like John or Bill or George or Carl, you know. Lots of people named that. There are a bunch of people named Jehoshaphat in the Bible. And he showed me Yahshua, the high priest, standing before the messenger of Yahweh. This is a vision he's having. And the Satan, with a capital S, Satan is the English mispronunciation. The Satan, and that is Strong's number 7854, standing at his right hand, and this is all one word, as an adversary, 7853. It's Satan with a small s, because it's not a proper name. It is a description of the Satan. And in Hebrew, it has the article attached, ha-Satan. And in 7853, it's just Satan. So that's what it means. That's what Satan means, an adversary, the adversary. Pardon me. We got bronchial problems again. Verse 2. And Yahweh said to the Satan, Yahweh rebuke you, 1605, O Satan, even Yahweh that has chosen Yerushalayim rebuke you. Is this not a firebrand, 181, taken, 5337, from the fire, 784? And verse 2, you can reference the book of Jude 9, verse 9. Verse 3. Now Yeshua, that's the high priest, was clothed with filthy garments, 6674, filthy garments, and stood before the messenger, verse 4. And he answered and spoke to those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with priestly robes. That's 4254. Verse 5. And I said, let them set a pure turban upon his head. This is Zechariah the prophet speaking. Let them set a pure turban upon his head. So they set a pure turban upon his head. That's a clean turban. And clothed him with garments. And the messenger of Yahweh stood by. Verse 6. And the messenger of Yahweh charged, in other words, commanded, 5749, Yeshua, saying, thus says Yahweh of hosts, if, big two-letter word, if you walk in my ways, and if you will keep my charge, then you shall also govern 1777 my house, that's over the temple, and shall also guard 8104 my courtyards, 2691. Those are the courtyards of the temple, and I will give you goings 4108 among those that stand by. In other words, free access. 4108 is Mahalakim from Mahalad. That's free access. And here's verse 8. And you can reference Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. And chapter 33, verse 15. And the book of Zechariah, chapter 6, verse 12. Verse 8. Hear now, O Yeshua the high priest, you and your fellows that sit before you, for they are men that serve as a sign. 41:59. For, behold, I will bring forth my servant, the sprout, 6780. Now that's Semach, T-S-E-M-A-C-H, from 6779, Semach. It is a figurative for Zerubbabel. Okay, my servant, the sprout. And that's Zerubbabel, because he's going to build the temple with the assistance of Koresh, king of Persia, the second temple. Verse 9, for behold, the stone that I have laid before Yeshua, upon one stone, seven eyes, behold, I will engrave its engraving of it, says Yahweh of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Verse 10. In that day, says Yahweh of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the shade of the vine and under the shade of the fig tree. Pardon me, I got to clear my lungs. I don't know why it does that, but every time I start to do a show, it comes up. It's the working of the lungs, I guess, early in the morning. This is early here. In verses 3 through 9 of chapter 3, Yeshua is set up as the high priest, and he's charged with overseeing the upcoming new temple of Yahweh. In verse 8, it is sprout. It is not branch, as it says in the King James. It is not branch. That is an error. It is sprout. And that refers to Zerubbabel, the king. And this occurs again in 6:12. The mistranslation of sprout into branch is also in Jeremiah at 23:5 and 33:15. And that's the error of the King James Version. So now you know where they went astray. They have made a lot of errors in the King James. Let me get a cup of coffee here. Okay, nice big drink of coffee. Let's get into chapter 4 of Zechariah. And the messenger that talked with me came again and roused me, 5782, as a man is roused from sleep, 8142. Verse 2, and said to me, what do you see? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a menorah 4501, all of gold. But stop right there. Uh, 4501 in the King James Version is candlestick. Now, the menorah was far more than the candlestick, okay? It wasn't just a plain candlestick. Candlestick does not imply the meaning that the word menorah does. And it is menorah in the Hebrew. And that is what I am going to use because it is much more expansive a word with greater meaning than candlestick. All of gold, that's the holy menorah, the holy lampstand. Didn't have candles in it at all. It had bowls and seven lamps that were oil lamps, which was fed from the main bowl. It had nothing to do with candles. That was the holy menorah in the Holy of Holies of Yahweh. So to use candlestick, that is a common word, not a holy word like menorah. Menorah means a lot more. So I really dislike the King James Version. I use it for reference, but it is so inaccurate in so many ways. Okay, what do you see? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a menorah all of gold with a bowl, 1543, upon the top of it, and seven lamps, 5216, upon it, and seven pipes, 4166, to the seven lamps which are upon the top of it. And here's verse 3. And verse 3 you can reference Revelations chapter 11, verse 4. And two olive trees, 21:32, by it, one upon the right of the bowl and the other upon the left of it. So I answered and spoke to the messenger that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Now, Lord here is 113, Adon, and that is properly used. It's not a capitalized, it's an honorarium. It's Lord Adon, my Lord. It's an honorarium to the messenger because he was a divine being. He's not substituting Baal. It's Adon. Verse 5. Then the messenger that talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I replied, no, my Lord. Verse 6. And you can reference Ezra chapter 5, verse 2 for verse 6 here. Then he answered and spoke to me, saying, this is the word of Yahweh to Zerubbabel, 2216, saying, not by might, 2428, nor by power, 3851, but by my spirit, capitalized S, spirit, says Yahweh of hosts. Because Zerubbabel would be charged with the building of the second temple. Verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone of it. 7222, capstone 68. Shouting, 8663, gonna hew down mountains to get the capstone, shouting, grace, 2580, grace unto it. So let me read that completely. And he shall bring forth the capstone of it, shouting, grace, grace unto it. And that grace is Ken, C-H-E-N. It's favor or grace of Yahweh. Verse 8. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation, 3425, of this house. His hands shall also finish, 1214, Batzah, finish it, and you shall know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. Verse 10. Because who has despised, 9:36, that's verse 10, you can reference Revelation 5, verse 6. Who has despised the day of small things, 6996. They shall rejoice, seeing the stone of tin, 913, in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of Yahweh which run to and fro. That's one word. 7751 through the whole land. All right, the stone of tin is a weight used as a plumb weight for leveling in construction. It would equal the English word plummet, okay, which is a construction, the bob that's on the end of the plumb line. And it can be used for vertical and horizontal plumbing, okay? Making true the angles. They had a lot of construction techniques that we use today back then. So this is a little obscure if you just you don't know exactly what all this stuff. What is he talking about? A stone of tin? Well, now you know with the stone of tin. Stones were used as weights on balance scales. They were measured out, and you had a true stone that gave an accurate weight every time. If you had a dishonest stone, you were going to measure out an ephah, you'd give the guy a short ephah. And that was considered an abomination by Yahweh and was a big sin. Well, the same way this stone was a tin weight used on the end of a plumb line. So there you go. Verse 11. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees upon the right of the menorah and upon the left of it? And you can reference Revelations 11, verse 4 on that. Verse 12, and I answered again and said to him, what are the two olive branches which through the golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Verse 13, and he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Verse 14, then he said, these are the two anointed 3323 sons, 1121, that stand by the Lord of the whole land. Lord here again is 113, Adon. Now, let me look at something in the scriptures. See what it says here. In Zechariah 4:14. I want to double check. So I double check myself all the time just to make sure that they have master of all the land. Okay. But it is either master or Lord. So I was correct there. I don't like to have errors when I teach. I just want to double check that Bible. It's the scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research. And it is so accurate. And the little notes at the bottom are just wonderful. I highly recommend that. For a carrying around reading Bible, you just can't beat it. It's the best out there. Old Testament and New Testament. It's a Holy Name Bible. They've taken out all the maliciousness that was put into the King James and have replaced all the names. All the names are in the Hebrew spelling. Yahweh is in there and Yahshua is in there. They've done a marvelous job. I'm very pleased with that book. And they got a new edition out. So, and it's also available on eSword. You can download it on eSword now. I believe after I wrote them a letter, they have removed Gentile. And the older version I had to white out Gentile and put in nations, but I believe they have now removed the word Gentile completely and put the proper term nations in there. All of this is always an ongoing work. You never stop studying. You never stop looking for new information. when it says study to show yourself approved, it's a lifetime thing. You never stop. You always study. I know that I have a great knowledge of the scripture, but the more I read it, the more I know it. There's always something new coming out. And it's marvelous. All this stuff needed a lot of research. Like the thing about the 10 weight. I mean, you're not going to get that in your Judeo-Christian churches. What are you talking about? Well, it's obscure. Well, no, not if you look it up and you research it. You have to work at it. It's work. You have to put effort into it. You have to move closer to Yahweh, and He will move closer to you. He tells us that. You don't just have a Bible with all the gold trim and all that stuff and sit it on the coffee table to look good. You have a study Bible, and you wear the thing out, and within 2 or 3 years you have to buy another one because the pages are all ragged from working with them. Oh my. That's why when I publish, the Torah is out now. Eli's got it for sale. It's meant to be put in 3-ring binder. I'm working on the other stuff. I have to computerize everything. But it's got replaceable pages. If a page starts to get worn, you stick it in a copy machine and you copy the doggone thing and put a new page in, replace that page. It's got lots of places for your notes and stuff because you're going to want to write in it when you study it. That's what a real study Bible is for. Oh, I don't want to mark it up. Man, come on. It's to work. It's to work with every day. These, and when they wear out, get another one. You ought to wear out a Bible every 2 years. Seriously, you should wear one out from use every 2 years. You should have to get a new one. That's what it's for. Chapter 5. Then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked and beheld a flying 5774 roll 4039. That should be a scroll. It's a Megillah. And verse 1 speaks of the scroll of the Torah. They didn't have bound books with pages like we have today. They wrote on a scroll and unrolled it, unrolled one end and rolled up the other end, and they went through it reading left to right. Now, there are some that say there were also right to left. I've never seen one, and I'm not going to debate it. There's talk around that they also wrote right to left. Well, that's different language. Everything I've seen in the Hebrew, including Paleo Hebrew, is always right to left as far as reading. We here read left to right. So, there's lots of stuff that has gone on, and we can't occupy all our time with it because we'll miss important studies. It doesn't matter which way they wrote. It matters what they wrote. What's in the scriptures. Verse 2. And he said to me, "What do you see?" And I answered, "I see a flying roll. The length of it is 20 cubits, and the width of it is 10 cubits. Great, that's a 15 by 30 book of the Torah. Whoa. Verse 3, then he said to me, this is the curse. 4:23, that's Allah, that goes forth over the face of the whole land. For all that steal, 1589, that have gone unpunished, 5352, on this side of it, and all that swear falsely, 7650, that have gone unpunished on that side of it. It's the law. And the law is a curse to wrongdoers, to evildoers. It's not a curse to us that love Yahweh and His law. But those that reject it, it's a curse to them. And it will remain a curse to them because the Torah stands today. Only the sacrificial part of it for the remission of sins has been done away with. That's the only thing that has been fulfilled. The rest of the Torah stands. And that's what the Judeo-Christian churches are preaching against. And they're lying. They want to tell you that the Torah, oh, that's all nailed to the cross. Because they don't like the restrictions of it. Yahshua made them out a liar. He says, not one jot or tittle shall fail until heaven and earth pass away and all, that big three-letter word, A-L-L, all, is fulfilled. Well, part has been fulfilled, but not all, and heaven and earth haven't passed away. So quit trying to do away with the Torah. You churches full of liars. Oh, they're going to, it's a curse to them too. Why? Because they teach lies. They teach apostasy. They teach race mixing. They teach it's okay as an alternative lifestyle to be a homosexual. They teach apostasy. So of course they want to do away with that law. Oh, yes, they want to do away with it. Verse 4. I will bring it forth, says Yahweh of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of he that swears falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall destroy it to the last timber and stone, his household. And will destroy it. And here's verse 5 and verses 5 through 11 here are symbolic of the removal of wickedness from Yahweh's land. Verse 5. Then the messenger that talked with me went forth and said to me, lift up your eyes now and see what this is that goes forth. And I said, that's verse 6, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah, that's a unit of measure, 374, that goes forth. Unit of measure. He also said, this is their eye. 5869, through all the land. Now these are figurative usages here. Verse 7. And behold, there was lifted up a round weight. 3603. That is a kick car. And this is used as a cover for the ephah. The ephah is a vessel that is a unit of measure. So this kikar is the cover for that vessel. And behold, there was lifted up a round weight of lead, 577. 5777, pardon me. And revealed, 2063, a woman, 802, sitting in the middle of the ephah. Verse 8, and he says, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the stone of lead upon the mouth of it, that measuring stone as a weight. Verse 9, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, two women, and the wind, 7307, was in their wings. 3671, that's kanaf, they had wings, because they had wings like the wings of a stork, 2624. That's kasida. And they lifted up the ephah between the land and the sky. Verse 10. Now, remember, this is all a prophetic vision. This is not literal. This is a vision. Verse 10. Then I said to the measure that messenger, pardon me, then I said to the messenger that talked with me, where do these bear the ephah? In other words, where are they carrying it to? Verse 11, and he said to me, to build it a house in the land of Shinar. 8152. Okay, 8152 is another name for Babel, as a land of wickedness. They're taking the wickedness back to the land of wickedness. And it shall be established and set there upon its own base. 4369, that's Mekona, a base or a stand for that vessel will be set up on a pedestal in the land of wickedness. So that ends chapter 5. Let's get into chapter 6 here. And I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots, 4818, out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of bronze, 5178. And verse 2 of chapter 6, and you can reference part A in Revelation 6, verse 4, and part B, Revelation 6, verse 5. On the first chariot were red horses, red 122, and horses 5483. And on the second chariot, black 7838 horses. Here's verse 3, and you can reference Revelation 6, verse 2. And on the third chariot, white horses, 3836, white. And on the fourth chariot, spotted 1261, and strong 554 horses. Verse 4. Then I answered and said to the messenger that talked with me, what are these, my lord? again, Adon, 1:13. And the messenger answered and said to me, these are four spirits, 7:307, of the skies, which go forth from standing, 33:20, before the Lord of all the land. Okay. The verse 6, the black horses which are there go forth into the north country, and the white go forth after them, and the spotted go forth toward the south country. Verse 7, and the strong went forth and sought, 1:2:4:5, to go, that they might walk to and fro through the land. And he said, go, walk to and fro through the land. So they walked to and fro through the land. Remember the book of Job? He's talking to the Satan, the adversary. Oh, I have been walking to and fro through the land. These are angelic beings. Verse 8, then he called out to me and spoke to me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have put at rest my spirit in the north country. And the verse 9, and the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, take from those of the captivity, 1473, this is the Israelites, from Keldai, 2469, and Tobiah, 2900, and from Yediah, 3048, which have come from Babel. And you come the same day and go into the house of Josiah, 2977, the son of Zephaniah, 6846. Verse 11, then take silver and gold and make crowns, 5850, and set one upon the head of Yeshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Verse 12, and you can reference Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, and chapter 33, verse 15. And the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, verse 8. And these, again, speaking of Zerubbabel. Verse 12. And speak to him, saying, thus speaks Yahweh of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the Sprout, and he shall grow up from his place, and he shall build the temple of Yahweh. This is not a messianic verse. It is not about Yeshua Messiah. It is about Zerubbabel. Verse 13. He shall build the temple of Yahweh, and he shall bear the majesty, 1935, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And the council, 6098, of peace, 7965, shall be between both. Verse 14, and the crown shall be to Chelem, 2494, and to Tobiah, and to Yediah, and to Chen, 2581, C-H-E-N, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial, 2146 in the temple of Yahweh. Verse 15. And those far off, 7350, shall come up and build in the temple of Yahweh. Those are the Israelites from the dispersion that were going to return and build the second temple. And you shall know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. That's the messenger speaking to Zechariah. And this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey. If you will diligently obey. That's 8085 doubled for emphatic. In other words, hear. Certainly hear, because that's what 805 means. To hear or cause to hear. The voice of Yahweh your Elohim. A sprout instead of a branch is a fresh growing thing, not part of an existing tree. And growing up in verse 12, it has a completely different meaning than branch conveys. They have put branch in there. That is a mistranslation. It is sprout. A fresh green sprout to build the fresh new temple. So, got that translation fixed. Got a little more than 10 minutes here. We're going to do chapter 7 on tomorrow. There are 14 chapters in the book of Zechariah. Then I will do the book of Malachi, and then I will go into the book of Daniel. When I have completed the prophecy of Daniel, I will begin Psalms. Okay, on May the 1st. Beginning at that time, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I will be doing reruns beginning in Genesis for the new listeners that have not had a chance to hear Genesis onward. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays will be reruns starting in Genesis, working up Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I'm going to rerun the whole Torah. It'll go into 2018. It needs to be done because people have not heard, and in the archives, show 2 and show 3 of Genesis are bad. There were audio problems with that show. Well, I have redone them, and show 2 and show 3 are now new shows on the same subject. I redid those shows. I had audio problems with, I was new at this and was using a different computer, and it had some problems in the very beginning of when I started the Word for Word series. So I am redoing the 2 bad shows. Well, they're done. I will play those shows from my archives here. So you will get 2 good shows instead of 2 bad shows that needed to be done. So we are watching events unfold with more false flags and all of this other stuff. Wake-up call this week is going to be pretty hard-hitting. I did a rerun last week because I just didn't have the time when I got home from the Feast of Unleavened Bread to record. I'm actually recording this show on Monday the 17th because I have not had the time. I have been scrabbling to get my little world back in order here in my catacombs that I live in. I'll be recording all day today and tomorrow, and I'll pretty much get the rest of this month done this week, and then start into Psalms, and then I can schedule my replays on Genesis from there. EFR has offered a calendar according to Enoch's solar calendar. It is available now. You should use it for the rest of this year, and it goes into next year and starts in March of next, it ends at March of next year. So you get all the feast days right. Brother Hebert of North Carolina has graciously put this together. It is professionally done on heavy gloss paper by a professional printing house. It is very accurate. It is according to Enoch's solar calendar. And that is what we follow here for the most part. Eli and I do. Others may differ, whatever. The main thing is everybody at EFR goes by the tenets of Christian identity. The calendar is up for grabs, I guess. But we all agree who true Israel is and what our destiny is, and that we should follow Yahweh's laws. But this calendar is what Eli and I use, it's a beautiful piece of work, really is. If you would like one, click on the donate button at the top of the EFR page and send us a donation of $20 or more. Please put calendar in the message when you click on the donate button and give us your mailing address, and you will get your calendar very quickly. And we only had so many of them printed. We may have had to do a second printing by now. I don't know. Eli's in charge of that. But it is a welcome addition to what I've got here as far as research, because I'm very big on keeping the proper dates and letting other people know what the proper dates are. So I rely on that calendar. It's what we use. EFR itself could use some donations. David James could use some donations. It's to the point where we have donated so much of our own time that we're, not myself, but others are financially hurting. You cannot serve Yahweh and Mammon. David has done such a drastic amount of work that he has neglected his personal needs. He sacrificed himself, and the hours he puts in are horrendous. And he needs some help. So instead of just talking the talk and giving lip service, kick in some shekels. You get on David's site, you can donate. You spend more on beer each week if you drink beer, or cigarettes, or whatever. There's a lot of frivolous things in your life you could do without, and help support the word here. Our personal lives have expenses. Okay? I'm living on social insecurity, and I donate a lot of my money to the stuff for EFR. You know, I'm 70 years of age, living on a fixed income, and I kick in, okay? So instead of wasting the money on frivolous things, help us out. Help the broadcasters out here. We don't get paid. This is all volunteer, 100%. But it's been so much volunteering for some of us that we can't pay bills. You know, that's not my case. I take care of what I need to take care of. But others have put so much time in, all those fixing of the audio files for all the great CI teachers that David James has done, has taken so much of his time that he's hurting. Help a brother out. Come on. You talk about brotherhood. You got a guy that's working his fingers to the bone for your benefit. Help your brother out. Don't talk about being a brother. Be a brother. So that's what I got to say about that. You know, quit giving lip service. Kick in. Same way with this calendar. Part of it goes to EFR because we need it. We have server fees. It's not free. None of this stuff is free. No, nobody gets paid. But EFR itself has expenses. You know, this is the real world, and it's unpleasant, and it's against us. So help us out. You know, help the station out. Server time isn't free. That's pretty close to wrapping it up for today. I will be getting into Chapter 7 of Zechariah tomorrow. And we'll see. It'll probably take the rest of the week to finish up Zechariah. And then the following Monday I'll do Malachi and then kick into Daniel. But this is my 221st word-for-word show. That tells you I've been at it a while. So there's where the time goes. But we're coming down the end here. Don't believe in politics. Don't trust men. Trust in Yahweh and follow Yahweh and keep His laws. And He will bless you and protect you. And there are those that say they believe, but they won't obey. They're hearing, and they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Keep the feasts. Keep the food laws. Keep your seed line pure. So, Shalom Aleichem, may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow on the 19th, beginning with Zechariah chapter 7. Bye.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus